and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, the American Adversaries.
All right, hope you're feeling pretty good this afternoon, folks. As we dry out just a little bit, we didn't get quite the rain, at least not yet, that we were expecting today, but we sure caught it last night. Welcome to the show, folks. That's right, you got the American Adversaries 3-hour Sunday evening classic tour coming to you live on FM 105 and AM 660 The Answer. And we are up on the stick, aren't we, Jeff?
We sure are.
All right, and that is, of course, Jeff Sinis, who is on the bridge.
How you doing?
All right, and the Rays wrapped up a series with Kansas City today by beating them for the first time this season. So congratulations to the Tampa Bay Rays. All right, so we're coming to you live, as I said, from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. And please do not forget, for the very best and mercury-free dental care, call my own dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, at 407-678-3399. And please don't forget to ask him about his great book, Mercury Free. All right, in the studio with me tonight is, I got our token African-American here tonight. And no, I'm not talking about Carl, if you know he's here. I'm talking about Aubrey Kahn.
Woohoo!
legal immigrant from African-America, now a bona fide American citizen, South Africa, I should say, and Carl Jackson is here in the studio with us today. Hey, Carl.
Hello, everyone.
Always great to have Carl Jackson on the show with us, and he's all set to go with his corner here shortly. And we got a big show lined up for you tonight. And, of course, you are welcome to join us at any point. Simply just give us a call at 407-774-8255. And we haven't done it for a week or two, but we are going to do our Who Said That contest tonight, only no, we're not. We're going to do a What Was That contest tonight. So we're going to twist it up a little bit, but we will be doing a contest where you can win a $20 gift card to Cafe Positano, which, if you choose to do so, you could use on the night of our spaghetti eating contest or any time in between or after, and a My Liberty Threads t-shirt. And you will definitely want to stick around for that. And we're going to be talking about some new poll numbers, another new poll out. The Iowa Register, along with Bloomberg, have got a poll out that's good news for Trump, bad news for Hillary. And we'll be going over those results. And we're also going to talk about what I call, or the GOP sees as the Hispanic problem, and what Donald Trump is doing about that. And we're going to reprise tonight, at least for a while, our Dumb and the Feckless series, because it goes right to the heart of what's going on right now with this campaign in the Democratic Party, in particular, not just with Hillary Clinton, but the little rivalry going on between the Clinton forces and the White House forces who are aligning behind Joe Shotgun Biden. Thank you. Thank you, Mickey Alvarez, for that. All right. Whoops, I guess that's me going off there. Let me do this right here.
Someone has a classic car in studio.
Yeah, so glad you got some company tonight. Oh, okay, thank you very much. I guess they were getting bored of me being alone last week. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. It's good company indeed. And, of course, you folks being in the audience, you make the company the best company of all, and we certainly appreciate that. Real quickly, we are now experiencing the remnants of Hurricane Erica, who was supposed to strengthen over the Caribbean and strike Florida a mighty blow.
I should have called it Hurricane Hillary, because she's a has-been, too.
I like that. Fading away quick, right?
Well, not on about fading away. I mean, you call her the pair for obvious reasons, right?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well,
yeah,
fading away in the polls, but not in that sense. I got you right there. But this is something that John L. Casey has been talking about, if you folks have been hearing him on our show, and that is that the Atlantic Ocean has cooled. There are shearing winds that are a product of the El Nino in the Pacific Ocean, and those both combine to, you know, they're death knells for storms in the Atlantic Ocean. And so any storms that are going to form out there, the odds of them becoming strong hurricanes are very, very long. It would take an odd set of circumstances given those facts. And that's why it's not surprising to me at all, and to you listeners, if you've been paying attention to the show, and that is that this hurricane fading out is what was to be expected. And the next one coming along, I suspect it'll do probably the same thing. Now that I've said that, watch it come into Miami Beach as a Category 5 hurricane. Not likely, though. Once again, the Atlantic Ocean.
Hurricane Joe.
The ocean temperature is not warm enough. It's slightly warmer closer to the Florida coast where you have the Gulf Stream, but it is still not warm enough, and that area of ocean is not large enough to feed into a big, powerful storm. And then you combine that with the wind shear. These are high-level winds, the jet stream, they call it, that basically chop off the top of the storm. It cuts it off. What you have in a hurricane is you have not only rotation going around, say, horizontally, but you also have rotation going around vertically, in other words, up and down. Right? From the bottom of the storm to the top of the storm and back down. And that's where the warm ocean can be incorporated into the energy of the storm. The storm and the ocean actually become one, if you will. Only when you have wind shear chopping off the top of the storm, it interrupts that circulation, so the storm can't really build up a powerful force. So, once again, if you listen to the American adversaries, you're ahead of the game. All right. And you'll also hear things talked about on this show that get scant little attention in the media. And I was a bit surprised that I didn't see any mention today. I wasn't surprised with NBC, ABC, and CBS, but I didn't see any mention on Fox. Now, I got to admit, I kind of flip around a little bit because they're now competing with the channel ABC thing. They both come on at the same time, Chris Wallace and Georgie Porgy Stephanopoulos. So I go back and forth. So maybe they did, and I didn't see it, but I don't think they did. Not one mention of the assassination of Deputy Darren Goforth yesterday in Houston.
I was watching Fox this morning. They had it on for a good period of time.
Was it Chris Wallace?
It was Fox and Friends.
Well, Fox and Friends, that's on the Fox network. Chris Wallace gets the Channel 35 play. In other words, he's on the free TV too, right?
Okay.
And I would have liked to have seen a mention there.
Okay.
And can you imagine, of course, if the roles were reversed and Deputy Goforth had to come up upon this black man and seeing him perhaps doing nothing? Or maybe doing something, and he shoots him, and he kills him. Do you think that we would have gotten the play that we got today as it turned out? Or do you think that all ABC, NBC, and CBS, with their whole first part of their show, would have been about this, right?
Absolutely.
And I think the sheriff, and I don't know the county that Houston is in, but the sheriff... Harris County. I think the sheriff summed it up best. And do you have his name in front of you there? I'm sorry.
Don't.
All right, but I've got a story right here, unless Carl gets to it before me. But the sheriff of the county, I think, said it the best. Okay, you're right. Harris County Sheriff Ron Hickman. He identified the shooter as Shannon Miles, a fellow who has been arrested a number of times. They don't know why Miles did it, and I guarantee you, if Miles has been through the system, he knew what to say right away, and that is, I want a lawyer, right? And then the lawyer comes in and tells him not to say anything that might implicate him in any way, shape, or form, especially in, say, a hate crime. Can we say this qualifies perhaps as a hate crime? Walking up behind a deputy sheriff and for no apparent reason at all, basically emptying a semi-automatic weapon into him. Not only shooting him while he's standing there gassing up his car, but after he falls on the ground, then he walks over and stands over him and pumps four or five more rounds into him. I think that would qualify as a hate crime, if there is such a thing. if you can categorize anything that other than violent crime as hate crime.
You know, this is something that I'll never understand. You know, all this PC BS, because let's face it, when anyone shoots someone else, it's nothing else but a hate crime.
Yeah.
You ever shot anyone because and have it called a love crime? No.
Well, Sharia law might argue otherwise.
I actually haven't ever shot anyone.
This is America, Carl.
Well, the point being, and I think once again, to get to what you're saying, I think the sheriff, Sheriff Hickman, said it the best. And I'm paraphrasing now. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes, I do.
He said to the effect, people say black lives matter. Well, all lives matter. He says, well, cops' lives matter too.
Amen.
Why don't we just drop the qualifier and just say lives matter and take it to the bank?
I love it.
I like that.
And that's exactly right. And forget all the qualifiers. Hate crime. Black lives matter. White lives matter. Life matters. Lives matter. Matter. And anything to deny people their life and their life is a hate crime by definition.
Exactly. As is abortion.
Absolutely.
Right. And so, once again, very scant low play. You know, he was on Fox and Friends this morning. One American News Network is running it every hour. They're running something about the story every hour.
Wow, impressive.
And then there was the district attorney, okay, who's a white woman, and her statement was just as profound. Her statement was to the effect of, man, once again, did I put that article away already? Let me grab it back out. Duh. Her statement was, well, to the effect, oh, okay. There are a few bad apples in any profession. Okay, let me back up. It is time. This is Harris County District Attorney Devin Anderson. And Devin Anderson is a woman with blonde hair. She said, can you turn that down just a little bit for me, Nick or Jeff, please? It is time for the silent majority in this country to support law enforcement. There are a few bad apples in any profession. That does not mean there should be open warfare declared on law enforcement.
Amen again.
All right, when we come back, we'll continue this conversation. Of course, you're welcome to join us at 407-774-8255.
Hi, this is Roxy Astor from GLOW, one of the Park Avenue Knockouts. When I'm not shopping or getting my nails done, I listen to the American Adversaries on AM 660, The Answer, WORL. These guys are the best when it comes to political professional wrestling. I'd step in the ring any day with these guys, but of course I'd win.
All right, welcome back to the show, folks. Once again, I want to thank you for being with us as we are on our three-hour Sunday evening classic tour on a damp but not really wet Sunday afternoon. So I hope you're making the best of the rest of your weekend. And I want to thank you for spending part of it with us. And I hope you spend the next a little over two and a half hours with us. And then, of course, don't forget that you got some great live radio right here on FM 105.5 and AM 660 The Answer. It'll take you to 11 o'clock with Armed American Radio, Mark Walters, and the gang. All right. I'm Christopher Hart, along with Aubrey Kahn and Carl Jackson. We were talking about the shooting of the deputy in Houston yesterday. Deputy Darren Goforth shot, murdered in cold blood in a very cruel and hateful fashion. And the response of the sheriff himself and the district attorney, I think, is the way most Americans feel. I really do. They feel that all this nonsense about Black Lives Matter is just a cover for being an excuse, if you will, for your own particular form of resentment and hatred. The people who, you know, spew that nonsense. Because obviously they must know that in saying so, they're excluding other people. And it's not even like they put the word to at the end, you know, T-O-O. that would mitigate, you know, the hateful message that is coming from them a little bit. Carl, let me ask you what you know. Obviously, this is something that you've thought a lot about, and I know you've got. I don't want to get into your corner or anything, sure. But in terms of us just simply just trying to get away from all of these labels, like the sheriff said, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, first off, I think you have to recognize where the Black Lives Matter, and I say matter, D-D-E-R, come from, because the goal is, actually, Black Lives Matter is a white man's dream. And it was set up, and it's funded partly by George Soros, who happens to be white, for those of you that are unaware. So this is what you have to understand. The goal for black people every election season is to make black people mad so that they don't think. That's the reason why Trayvon Martin, that nonsense, was perpetrated in the media. It's the reason why Mike Brown was perpetrated in the media. I want you to understand that every time an election season comes around, black people have to get riled up. And it's sad that my people constantly fall for this nonsense. However, I am seeing more and more YouTube videos and blacks coming out and stepping up against the Black Lives Matter because they realize the endemic problems that it's causing in their own neighborhoods. This nonsense where you're destroying people's property, your own property, destroying your own future, it's absolute nonsense. So when I look at this Black Lives Matter campaign, I just look at it as total nonsense. When I see blacks start protesting against abortion, when I see blacks turn away from the Democrat Party, the party of the KKK, then perhaps I'll take the Black Lives Matter situation seriously.
Well, I think you pointed out something there that I wanted to get to, and that is that it is counterproductive.
Absolutely.
All right. Because let me just tell you, if there is going to be an all-out war on the streets, the blacks are going to lose. I'm sorry. It's because it's within the community. The problem is within the community as much as it is without the community. And when I say that, what I mean is that the black leadership is coming from the wrong people. We need better leadership in the black community than what we're getting. The leadership coming from the likes of George Soros, the leadership coming from the likes of Al Sharpton, the leadership, quite frankly, coming from the likes of this president. We need a whole lot better than that. It has to come from within. It can't come from without. And this whole Black Lives Matter, as Carl puts it, is a huge distraction from that reality as well as other things. And it's a distraction for everybody. And I think that's what Carl's talking about here, and at least in part. And until we get down to seeing the world in what some might call a simplistic fashion, as the sheriff described it, simply lives matter, life matters, until we see it basically in that simplistic of a term, we're going to have problems, big problems, because it really does come down to what on the surface of it may seem simplistic, but in fact is quite profound. If life matters, if lives matter, then you don't need any qualifiers, right? All life matters. So black lives matter, white lives matter. Every life under God's green great sun, they matter.
But if you cannot break it up into segments, you cannot turn one race or one group against another. And that is something that our president has perpetrated ever since he came into office.
It's a great point, and honestly, Aubrey, it's what the Democrat Party...
That's how they stay in power.
Exactly. It's how they win. I mean, they divide us. It's divide and conquer, in a sense, except it's the government that's conquering us. So, right, they divide us into white and black, fat and skinny, beautiful and ugly, you name it. They divide us on every economic status you can imagine. They try to... That's what they do. If they can get those groups and they can keep you mad, then they know they have your vote. listen to the Democrat platform. Listen to Hillary speak. Listen to Bernie Sanders speak. Notice that whenever these people go out and speak, all they do, they don't talk about how to make your lives better. They talk about how your lives are horrible, and it's the Republicans' fault. Okay, even if my life is horrible, I don't need you to tell me who's making my life horrible. I need you to devise a plan that's going to help me make it better. And no, just pay attention to that, because they never do that.
Yeah.
Well, the politics of division, it's a game that's been working for 50 years. And if it's working, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah.
All right? So it's going to be based on race. It's going to be based on Republican versus Democrat. It's going to be, well, the wealthy whites are in the Republican Party, and they are suppressing you, the poor black man. And it's worked for 50 years. They're not going to change it overnight unless something happens.
And maybe that something is happening in the form of Donald Trump. We shall see, because he's spoiling the party for a lot of people. But to get back to this, once again, you're right, absolutely right. The purpose is to enrage people, and it's ironic that the Democrats, and I should say many conservative pundits, not us, I haven't heard any of us here do it, and I haven't heard L. Rush Fuzbo do it, but I've heard pretty much the rest of them, with a few exceptions, Gallagher also, and that is that Donald Trump's success is based on what? Is based on?
Anger, frustration.
Anger, yeah. We're the ones who are mad. We're the ones who are angry, you see. We're the ones who are not thinking. Ironic, isn't it, that that's what they're actually trying to breed and trying to do. And then, of course, when you get actually thinking people coming along saying, hey, wait a minute, we can't continue to do the same old with just different faces, different parties. We got to do something different. We're the ones called angry and not thinking? No. Once again, they got it backwards, see? They're the ones who, at least in terms of the power structure, they understand what's going on. And at least most of them, that they understand that the rift between the ruling class, if you will, and the rest of us exists in this country like it hasn't existed since the UK controlled us.
But again, they're using the same playbook, because it's those hateful people that are supporting this man.
Right.
All right. The rest of you who have your head screwed on right will support us, the establishment, because if it wasn't for us,
right,
you would have had all your Social Security taken away, your welfare, your food stamps, and you can't live without us.
And that brings us to the next point, and that is this victimhood mentality and this entitlement mentality. And you combine that, that's a volatile mixture to begin with. Let's think of this in terms of chemistry. This is a volatile mixture to begin with. You're putting explosive substances in contact with one another. And then you throw onto that an igniter, okay, which can be another chemical. It doesn't have to be a flame or a match. It can be simply another chemical. And so it might take a few minutes or it might take a little while. But you throw on the igniter of all this nonsense about police conducting a war against the black inner city community again, and all this other falderall and nonsense. And then you get acts like this.
Sure.
Then you get acts like this. This guy did this. Because he, first of all, he had a criminal mindset. We know that. But second of all, he was of the mindset that he had been wronged in this life, and he was going to do something about it. And then the way to do something about it was to kill the enemy.
Right.
And the enemy happened to be on this day a deputy sheriff.
And you know, he had a gay flag in his room, so now we got to ban gay flags because they hate speech.
I've already decided to take them out of my...
The bad man of World Championship Wrestling, and I'm here to tell you, listen to the American Adversaries. They may be some bad men, but they're great guys.
All right, welcome back to the show, folks. I want to thank you once again for being with us as we come to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660 The Answer. That's right, you got the American Adversaries on our Sunday evening three-hour classic tour. Christopher Hart here along with Aubrey Kahn and Carl Jackson. Jeff Sinis is on the bridge. And thanks again for being in the audience. A real quick program note. 1 week from tonight is Labor Day weekend. By the way, that's our five-year anniversary, and we're going to celebrate it by taking a night off. So we won't be here next weekend, and of course, that Monday is Labor Day, and we'll be taking that night off, too. So first time in a long time, we'll have three nights, well, since I think Thanksgiving, but we'll have three nights in a row that you won't have the American Adversaries. Sorry about that. That's the bad news. The good news is, of course, you can visit us anytime on our webpage and our archive at AmericanAdversariesRadio.com. And I want to thank all you folks who do frequent our webpage and our archive. And while you're there, please go ahead and sign up for the American Adversary Army, and you'll be entered into a drawing and perhaps be able to go on a cruise for free with us in November. And all you have to do is go to that webpage, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com, go to the recruiting office, and you can sign up right there for a mere $5 a month. You'll become a member of the American Adversaries Army. And in that sense, you will be a sponsor of the show, like Aubrey Kahn of Firm Foundation Home Inspections.
There you go.
If you need an inspection, this is your guy.
Come join our team on the cruise.
That's right. And you can visit Aubrey at orlandoshomeinspector.com. Or you can call him on his personal cell phone, which is sitting right here on the desk in front of him right now as we speak. He just picked it up. 321-624-0254 is Aubrey's phone number. That's 321-624-0254. Be like John, who's a listener of ours from Winter Springs, who called him this past week. And Aubrey went over there and helped him out and got him steered in the right direction.
John Lyer is a great guy, and he listens to the show all the time.
And we appreciate it.
And
he's
listens
a member of the American Adversary Army.
And he listens to Carl.
Yeah.
And he was complaining to me last night that Carl's no longer on the air. So, oh well.
Well, Carl's got some irons in the fire.
Yes, he does.
We'll see what's going on.
Yes, he does.
In the meantime, they can visit you, of course, on Facebook and your webpage, right?
Absolutely. CarlJacksonShow.com or Facebook at Carl Jackson Radio.
Now, you're doing some YouTube stuff too, right?
Well, I will be. I've done some minimal stuff in the past. We're going to be doing a lot more of that in the up and coming future. So, look forward to it. We're going to put something out on YouTube tonight and Facebook, and we'll see what happens, along with an article that I'll be speaking on briefly in Carl's Corner. So we'll see what happens.
Do you have your own YouTube channel?
I do. What it is, I'm not sure because I didn't set it up. But if you look up Carl, the good news is this. If you look up Carl Jackson, just scroll in my name on YouTube, either myself or the singer will come up. And I have managed to beat him in sometimes in clicks, thank God, and so I'll pop up. You'll find me.
You're not a singer?
I'm not a singer. I mean, I sing in the shower, but I could never do it professionally.
Hallelujah.
Well, yeah, you don't want to see naked Carl singing in the shower.
All right. Okay. All right. So we'll talk. We'll be talking more about this this Lives Matter thing. As Carl said, he's got some stuff lined up for his corner. So in the meantime, normally, Nostra Dennis would be with us doing some stories from the past. Just a note here, Nostra Dennis and Johnny Guns, neither one is going to be on the show for a while. Their work requirements have changed, and it just doesn't permit them the time to come over here and be on the show. So I'm very sad about that, but I am hoping that things will change again in the near future, and that they will be back. So in the meantime, we'll try to keep the format pretty much the same, with some changes perhaps coming to the format of the show. But in the meantime, we still do what we do here, and we try to do it well, and we'll try to carry on. But definitely going to miss Nostra Dennis and Johnny being in here on Sunday nights on a regular basis with us. And I'm sure you folks will miss them just the same. All right. Let's see. Did you hear about this story? Now, this was in this past week's newspaper, where the Reds and the Whites are okay, but the Blacks are not. This is happened in San Francisco. The Napa Valley Wine Train had to issue an apology to a book club that includes mostly Black women who said they were booted from a tasting tour because of their race. The company almost promised additional training for employees on cultural diversity and sensitivity, and they offered the group free passes for a future trip. The Napa Valley Wine Train was 100% wrong in its handling of this issue, CEO Anthony Tony Giacchio said in a statement. So the hoity-toity in San Francisco, when they have their little wine tours, don't like, you know, the rabble riding on the train with them, I guess.
Well, I guess they can always rename it the Wine Train, W-H-I-N-E.
W-H-I-N-E, that's for sure. I'm sure you didn't hear about that anywhere.
But you know, the training is going to be 5 minutes. What the bloody hell's wrong with you people?
That's what it should be. Oh, my goodness. I could see a lawsuit coming out of that, can't you?
Oh, for sure.
Oh, boy. And the South Carolina and Kansas governors have said, take your Gitmo prisoners and stick them somewhere else because you're not going to bring them into our states.
Well, you know, you can empty Gitmo because that'll make room for Hillary and her entourage.
Someplace for her, kind of like Pablo Escobar had his own prison, right? Just give her her own place. No, they said this was the administration, you know, is trying like the Dickens to close down Gitmo. This, of course, has been one of Barack Obama's goals from way back.
From way back. He said he was going to close the first day of his presidency.
Yeah. Right.
And now he said it's going to be closed by the time his presidency is over.
Yeah, and I don't doubt that he may finagle some way to do just that. But
hey, send them to Hawaii.
Yeah, that's right. Send them to a state where
it's on a little island, Hawaii.
Yeah, that's right.
Or isn't he building a house in Palm Springs?
Yeah, well, that's right. You know, send them there. He should feel at home with them, his Muslim Brotherhood.
Yeah.
Who's building a house in Palm Springs?
Isn't Barack Obama?
Friends are probably building it for him.
I hope to.
Okay, yeah. I thought I heard there were two houses going on, one in Hawaii and one in Palm Springs, California.
I don't know.
I could be wrong.
And you know what? He'll probably,
sounds about right, though.
He'll probably spend a lot of time in Washington, too, trying to tell the new president how to run the country.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bless his darling heart and stupid head.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. All right, so anyway, it's going to be yet a bit of a struggle, but the administration is trying their hardest to close down Gitmo. And I guarantee you, if they do close down Gitmo, they'll then give it back over to the Cubans. Guarantee you that.
Remember when they redistributed all those kids that came across the border this year?
Yeah.
Where did they redistribute them to?
Florida was one of the states.
All the red states.
Yeah, that's right.
All right? Because they want to create Democrat voters in the red states. Yeah. So guess where they'll be shipping the people from Gitmo?
To the red states.
To the red states.
Well, if the red state governors are on their toes, perhaps they can keep them out.
Well, and if that might be difficult because a lot of the children were shipped without warning the governors and the people in the red states. They only found about it afterwards.
I was going to say that if they use the U.S. Marshals to do it during the dead of the night, then they should blockade perhaps federal prisons in the state and don't let, you know, regular commerce go in and out of the federal prisons until they take those prisoners back out. Have a standoff. Oh, wait, we're talking about Republican politicians. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, forget
the
that
establishment
idea.
Establishment.
All right. Speaking of Republican politicians, you ever think about whatever happened to Sarah Palin since she hasn't been on Fox News? Point with Sarah Palin is now her very own show. Not only is she not just a consultant anymore, she's got her very own show on One American News Network. Once again, the new up-and-coming, I believe, Mike McBath and I swear by it. I tell you, you will find good news reporting on One American News Network.
That's the Now, that's the news network where that young girl, I forget her name.
Yes. Oh, gosh, now that you said that. She's on.
Just left, if I'm not mistaken.
Did she leave one of
If
her?
I'm not mistaken, she did, and Sarah Palin has come on.
And it's channel 208 if you have UVerse. I don't know if it's on DirecTV or I presume DirecTV maybe, because didn't AT&T buy DirecTV? Anyway, I don't know if they're on Bright House. I don't think they're on Bright House unless perhaps you have one of the higher tier packages. But One America News Network, if you do get it, you need to watch it, and I think it's very professionally and well done. And it's obvious that they don't have the budget that Fox and the other networks have, but they do a whole lot with what they do have. And speaking of television personalities, this one may be good news for Carl Jackson. Do you care about the LA Dodgers, Carl Jackson?
I do.
Vin Scully is going to call their games for at least another
year.
Yeah,
I heard that. Yeah, it was pretty exciting.
I love listening to him call baseball games. I don't believe anybody ever has called a better game, except maybe Dizzy Dean. Way back when he called him.
It's like, there was Vin Scully of the Dodgers, and there was Chick Hearn of the L.A. Lakers. He's no longer with us, but he was amazing when he was there.
All right. Well, stick around for some more amazing stuff coming out of Carl, because we're coming right back with his corner.
Back from the dressing room to restretch their tights. Here are the champions of political professional wrestling, the American Adversary on 660 WORL and on 1520 The Biz.
Hi, welcome back to the show, folks. And as you know, this is a regular part of our Sunday evening tour. And that is, it's time now for Carl's Corner with Carl Jackson. So, Carl, take it away.
All right. Hello, everyone. I want to tell you why Black Lives Matter, and I say Black Lives Matter, M-A-D-D-E-R, and Andy Parker, the father of Allison Parker, won't curtail or solve America's gun violence problems. Now, initially, I didn't want to speak on the issue of or the person of Andy Parker. Obviously, he's grieving the loss of his daughter, and it was very tragic to see his daughter die in the way that she did, as well as her friend Adam Ward. But what I've been equally frustrated about and concerned about is the fact that this father has came out within 24 hours vowing to curtail gun rights in America. Now, I understand this is a man that seems to know the business of news, and he doesn't want his daughter's name to disappear within a 24-hour news cycle. So for that, I give him credit. But I want you to understand something, and I need Andy, Parker to understand something. And that is, your mourning, your grief, as horrific as it is, does not nullify my rights, particularly when it comes to the right to defend myself. We were all saddened to see what happened with his daughter and Adam Ward. But I want you to notice that Andy Parker went straight to the symptom, which was the gun, rather than what I call the diseases. And that being insanity, criminality, immorality, and I'm forgetting my fourth disease. I'm sorry, so I'll give that to you in just a second. But he's not covering the diseases, and we want to make sure that we get all of those. Here it is: immorality, criminality, insanity, and why did I forget this one? Black racism. It's an issue that is running rampant within the United States, and we're not dealing with it. We saw Officer Darren Goforth assassinated, executed. Why? Because of black racism. We saw Andy Parker's daughter slain. Why? Because of black racism. We saw Adam Ward slain. Why? Because of black racism. And these issues aren't being talked about. So let's talk about them. Let's talk about immorality. Let's talk about criminality. Let's talk about insanity. Let's talk about black racism. First of all, immorality. Let me ask you this question. How can we expect anyone to behave morally without God? If we're removing God from our schools, if we're removing God out of society, we're saying, okay, it's okay for God to exist behind church walls, but we don't want him in our government, right? We don't want him in Washington, D.C. That's a big no-no. Then let me ask you something. How do you expect people to behave morally right. Why should they? Without God, everything is based on one's own sense of morality. It's moral relativism. So I'm going to say to Mr. Parker, let's stop dealing with the symptom. Let's stop dealing with a piece of metal. And let's start dealing with the issues that are really affecting people that are committing these crimes. Let's look at criminality. Let's look at the fact that when you don't have dads, you have delinquents. I want to say that again. When you don't have dads, you have delinquents. The fact of the matter is, and listen, I understand there's exceptions to every rule, okay? Just because a person, there's going to be many kids that grow up in a great home and they're going to get in trouble with the law and so on, etc. I understand that. But what you can find easily when you go to into any neighborhood or household that it's void of a dad and a mother that doesn't know how to handle a young boy, you're going to find the boy going out to get his credit, his purpose, if you will, in the streets. That's what often happens. So let's deal with those issues. Less dads, more delinquency. Let's deal with the insanity issue. Okay, if someone's crazy, let's deal with the PC of insanity. Let me tell you something. The left are responsible, and I'm just going to come on and say it. The left are responsible for these deaths. When you consider what they've done as far as when it comes to insane people, not being able to house insane people, not being able to speak out against insane people because you're so politically correct that you're unwilling to say a black man is crazy. This man is dangerous. He goes beyond the stereotypical black man comment, if you will. This guy, the shooter of Roanoke, the killer, the murderer, they had all types of time, information, to know that this was headed to a bad situation. This guy was capable of doing such a thing, such a heinous crime. They knew it. They knew it all along. So they could work within the walls of their building, of their employment, of the TV station. It didn't go beyond that. And why? I think Rush Limbaugh has touched on it correctly. He talked about how the political correctness starts setting standards in employment. We know they did it in schools and so on, etc., where you have to. It's all about affirmative action. It's all about affirmative action. So therefore, you can no longer hire and fire based upon merits, right? Now it's skin color. Wait a minute. Do you have breast? Wait a minute. Are you transgender? It's filling these quotas. Now, at some point in time in America's history, that may have been relevant. It isn't any longer. It's time to get rid of that nonsense. When you're so politically correct that you have to endanger lives, it's time to make a change. It's time to make a change. So we've covered immorality. We've covered criminality. We've covered insanity. We've covered black racism. Let's talk about Black Lives Matter. I spoke about it briefly. We have to understand that this Black Lives Matter, it's time for pushback against Black Lives Matter. I love the way the sheriff in Texas in Harris County addressed it. Lives matter, period. Lives matter, period. And for these people that go to, listen, I live in Orlando, Florida. I saw one time these black students at UCF protesting how they had it bad. And I'm thinking, man, I couldn't afford UCF. You got it much better than me, and I'm not complaining. So get your little whiny butt. Take your whiny butt somewhere. This is absolutely ridiculous. It's absolute nonsense. We're allowing people that are growing up in a privileged America to believe they're living in an oppressed America. And this nonsense has to stop. It's time to push back against Black Lives Matter and call them for what they are. They're a bunch of angry, mad people who don't understand God's grace, love, mercy, and justice. And speaking of justice, we need to preach God. We need to preach God in our schools. We need to preach God wherever we can because he's the ultimate judge. Do you think for a second that if people are taught, if you kill somebody, not only will we judge you here on earth, not only will we put your butt in the gas chamber, but you will also have to answer to God if you don't get right. If you think for a second that teaching these people about God, teaching people about absolute truth doesn't affect a society, then you're absolutely wrong. Because if you're taught that you will be condemned now and then, I guarantee you there will be a whole lot less murders inside of the on the world, in the world, if you will, and this Black Lives Matter nonsense would have never came to fruition.
That's excellent there, Carl. And you say you're working on a blog of this?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And hopefully I'll have it out with, actually it will be out. I'll finish it up tonight and hopefully it'll be on Town Hall tomorrow and Conservative Pundit.
And you're going to do something on YouTube about it too?
Absolutely. I'll make sure that my notes are a little more solid.
I suspect we'll probably see you on Fox about Wednesday or Thursday morning.
let's see.
I say call you out on this.
Yeah, I don't know. Fox is too much left wing for Carl.
It seems like it's getting there.
But you know, you actually hit on it, and it is something that needs to be brought to the forefront. And you know, I'm you know what you said about the young girl's father, the girl who was killed, the reporter there in Roanoke. You know, it's unseemly. I understand people grieve in different ways, and perhaps this is this man's way of grieving. The problem is that he should be smart enough to know that it's more than that. That if he's going to do this in a public sense, that he's supporting certain political forces, and I don't know if that's the best way to remember your daughter, to use her to make your political points with. I'm glad that someone is challenging this. You know, I'm sick and tired of this. You know, it was Hillary Clinton who was with that within 24 hours in the White House. You know, let's make something of this. You know, let's beat the drum for gun control again. We got another good murder out here. This one fits the mold perfectly, so let's beat the drum some, and let's don't wait a minute, because people are too stupid. They'll forget in 2 or 3 days. We got to get out there. We got to beat that drum now.
And the dad invited it. I mean, listen, I know the man is grieving, and I'm so sorry for his loss, but he invited in the very people that have caused the problems. He's invited in the very people, the very ideology that, in my opinion, caused his daughter to be executed on live TV. He's called President Obama or told President Obama, I'll do whatever it takes. This is what he said. I'll do whatever it takes to help you get gun control, mm-hmm. gun reform. He's invited Terry McAuliffe that is anti-gun. So I'm sorry. I'm looking at this gentleman, and I'm like, okay, maybe you're trying to honor your daughter. Completely doing it, going about the wrong way. The problem isn't a piece of iron, for God's sakes. The problem is insanity, immorality, criminality, and black racism. And you have to deal with those diseases.
When America fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, the American Adversaries.
All right, welcome back to the show, folks, as we start the second hour of our three-hour Sunday evening classic show, The American Adversaries is what you got, live on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer, and 1520 WBZW. Don't want to forget about that. I am Christopher Hart, along with Aubrey Kahn and Carl Jackson. We're coming to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. And look who's walking in the door right now, Scott Miller of My Liberty Threads. And once again, we're coming to you live from the Mercury Free Studios. Don't forget, for the very best in Mercury Free dental care, call my dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, at 407-678-3399. Jeff Sinis is on the bridge, so we are in good hands if you'd like to be a part of the show. And just give him a call. I'm gonna plug in the red mic here, Jeff. I unplugged that table mic. There you go. There's a red mic plugged in for Scott there. Anyway, if you'd like to be a part of the show too, folks, please give us a call at 407-774-8255. That's 407-774-8255. And keep that phone close by, because shortly we'll be doing our What Was That contest. And part of the prize package, if you get the answer right, is, of course, a My Liberty Threads t-shirt. Hey, Scott Miller, how you doing tonight?
Fantastic. How are you guys doing?
All right, pretty good. You just came in off the road?
Yep, just coming back from a home show over in Daytona.
Hey, Daytona, okay. Did you do another poll over there?
No, it was a pretty small show, so I'm trying to make sure I do at least 50 votes or more per poll.
Okay.
The Kentucky State Fair poll wrapped up, but that one we didn't do at this one.
Okay, and if you've been catching our Drive Time primetime show during the week, you know that Scott's been giving us these informal polls that have been actually tracking the national polls very closely. In terms of the Republican candidates, mostly a little bit with the Hillary thing, but not much. It's mostly Republican candidates. And there's a new Iowa Register Bloomberg poll out today. I want to get to that in just a minute. But before we get to all that, I just want to sort of close out for now, at least what we were talking about with the assassination yesterday of Harris County Deputy Sheriff Ron Hickman. Excuse me, Harris County Deputy Sheriff Darren Goforth, and the comments made by the county sheriff himself, Ron Hickman, who said, "Hey, you know, lives matter. Let's just leave it at that. You know, lives matter." And then you had the prosecutor, the Harris County District Attorney Devin Anderson, a woman, say, you know, just because there may be some bad apples in the police profession, that does not mean there should be open warfare declared on law enforcement. And Carl talked about, you know, in his Black Lives Matter commentary there about some of the things that go in, that are involved in all of that, and black racism for one. And Aubrey Kahn talked about the nature of politics to use wedge issues to divide people. And you combine all of that in the environment that we live in, and it's like, you know, little bottles of nitroglycerin laying around ready to go off and explode. And the victimhood mentality, we must really re-examine that, because victims, part of the psyche of being a victim is, if you will, misery loves company. In other words, if you're a victim, you want everybody else to be a victim too, even if it means you have to go out there and do it yourself. And I think that that's what we're seeing, at least in part, going on here. You mentioned the shooting in Roanoke, Virginia. This guy, that's all his whole life was, he was a victim, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
So finally, he was going to make some victims out of people that he felt it was appropriate that they needed to be victimized.
Right.
You know, they had decent lives, they had good lives, he was the victim, they weren't victims, so he was going to make them so. And Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber, the same thing. People needed to be made into victims, you know, in order for the right mentality and the right political progress.
Well, you know, Chris, this is a great point. And what we have to understand, too, is consider the murderer in Roanoke, Virginia, and how he had to literally look for racism. It's not that it actually existed. He had to look for it. For instance, they told him one time, he heard from Allison Parker, "Hey, let's go out in the field and blah, blah, blah." Anyone in media understands that if you go out in the field, you're talking about leaving the studio, the comforts of the studio, let's go get hot and sweaty and let's go get some interviews out on the streets. He took that as, oh, let's go pick some cotton.
Yeah, he chose,
come on.
He chose to be the victim.
Absolutely.
As most all victims do. Now, you get coerced or you get convinced that you should be a victim, but at the end of the day, if you are living your life as a victim, it's because you have chosen to do so. It is your choice to be either victimized or not. And if someone victimizes you in a crime, well, you can relive that the rest of your life, or you can choose to take control of your life again and not be that victim over and over again. Because victimhood, that state of mentality, is a mental disease. Okay? Think for a moment, what does disease mean? In other words, if we break the word itself down, dis-ease. Well, ease is a good thing, right? If we're at ease, that's a good thing. Dis means not. It means we are not at ease. So if you are living a victimhood mentality, you have a mental disease.
That was good.
Like you are that. Not like living that. Your life at ease. I went to Narcotics Anonymous once. No, you understand what I'm saying, though. It's a disease, though, that you can cure pretty easily by simply changing your mindset, changing your view of yourself. And this victimhood mentality now is coming to a head. It, with this whole the Black Lives Matter and everything, that's a true expression of the victimhood mentality, right?
Yeah.
Our pole lives matter, like nobody ever thought that before, right?
Sure.
We're the pole victim that nobody ever thought about. And that victimhood mentality is, not only is it a disease, but it's a terminal disease.
Let me tell you, one instance where Hillary Clinton, in my opinion, has seemed the most presidential and actually worthy of being a candidate is when she spoke down to Black Lives Matter. I got to tell you, everybody else gave her a hard time about that, as far as I know. I was like, honestly, that's when she seemed the most authentic to me, and she kept it real.
I loved her
Whether
sarcasm.
You agree or disagree with it, that was the time where Hillary Clinton seemed the most authentic.
Yeah, I loved her sarcasm. She told the people, so you don't want me to talk about White Lives Matter? No, what did she say? You won't listen to me.
I'll just talk to the white people.
Yeah,
then.
She said, so you won't listen to me? Okay, then I'll just talk to the white people. And really, that was a genuine moment for her, a rare one at that. All right, I want to turn the conversation to politics, bring in Scott Miller, but let's start off with John from Ocoee. John, thank you for calling and holding. We appreciate you being out there.
Well, thank you for taking my call. I got a couple of things that I wanted to talk about, and both of them are related to Boehner. I don't know if you all heard, last week he had a campaign event in Colorado, but it was a private event, and at the event, he called Ted Cruz a jackass. Have you all heard about that incident?
Yes.
Yeah, it was a fundraiser, I believe, wasn't it?
Yeah, fundraiser, right. Yeah, yeah. Sorry, not a cave, a fundraiser. Well, the congressman he was raising the money for, I called his Washington office, and basically what I wanted them to do was acknowledge that the congressman ought to ask Boehner to apologize for calling Cruz that name, and
right.
I just thought it was inappropriate. I'm not a Cruz isn't my number one candidate, but I just thought that it's inappropriate for him to be calling Cruz is not that kind of person to call anybody names like that.
What did they say? So, did you get a response?
Oh, well, they told me that I had to call. This was a campaign event, and I had to call the campaign office. And I said, well, I'm not really calling the campaign. I wanted the congressman to say what his leader said about Cruz is wrong. And they kept on saying, now you got to call a campaign. Eventually they hung up on me. It was, kind of frustrating that they acted that way. And it was like they had been conditioned that that's what they had their response was, and they had people calling them up about it. The other thing I wanted to ask was, the times whenever we have campaigns, there's pledges that we try to get the candidates to sign and pledge to, and I wondered, is there any type of pledge that people are trying to get going to have both the congressional and the Senate candidates to pledge that they will not vote for Boehner and Mitchell when they when it comes up when they get elected?
I'm not aware of anyone of any pledge of that sort out there, and I'd be highly doubtful that there would materialize such a thing. And for one reason is because people, even if they had that feeling, they wouldn't want it necessarily publicly known.
I think we need to put them on the spot. They keep on saying that they're conservative and they're, they feel our pain and everything, but they're all part of the cabal. And somebody needs to put them on the spot to say they're not going to continue to support this. Like I said, the cabal going on.
But John, these guys are rhinos. All right.
Yeah.
John Boehner, Mitch McConnell, all these guys, they're rhinos. So they're going to say whatever it takes to get elected.
Well,
and then
I think it goes deeper than that. And I think that, and this is going to, I'm going to use this as a segue, John, if you will, into what I wanted to talk about with Donald Trump. Because I think what's going on here is, you have the Dan Webster types. Of course, Congressman Webster from here in Central Florida, who actually challenged Boehner on the last ballot, and who's suffering the pain for it. The political party establishment controls Washington, D.C., and it's made clear to you when you get there as a newcomer, you go along to get along or you won't stay here long. And it's made very clear that if you don't play along, your life will be made miserable, like it is being made such for Dan Webster. And believe me, that's going to be an issue in his next election. Is what, you know, how effective can a congressman can you be if your own leader of your own party won't, you know, assign you to committees or something like that, you see? So it's going to take an outsider to come in and kick in the door and say the party is over, folks. And so that's going to take us to the next segment where I wanted to talk about the party poopers. And the biggest party pooper of all is Donald Trump, because he wants to destroy the party that's been going on in Washington, D.C. Hey, John, have you ever called the show before?
No.
Well, I tell you what, if you'll stay on the line and give Jeff your information, I'd like to, if you got an email address, I'd love to send you a sample copy of our Intel Brief, that's our newsletter, and I'd like to have Roxy send you a bottle of Roxy Pacifics. This stuff is great for whatever ails your skin. If you have a chronic problem, or if you just scratch or cut yourself, you'll want to put this stuff on. It's really great stuff, so please stay on the line, will you? All right, thank you for the call. Excellent call. We'll be right back, folks.
Oh, hey, folks, I'm WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan. And if you really want to find out what's going on in America, check out the American Adversaries. Tough guy.
Oh, away we go. Thanks for being listening out there to the show or something like that. Welcome back. That's right. You got the American Adversaries. We're here. We're live. We'll be here till 8 o'clock. And then Armed American Radio will take you live until 11 o'clock. And once again, thanks for being with us. In the next segment of the show, we're going to do our Who Said That contest, only it's not going to be a Who Said That contest. Tonight it's going to be a What Was That contest, or What Is That contest, if you will. You'll see what I mean when we play it here. But in the meantime, Scott Miller is in, fresh off the road from Daytona. You were in Daytona?
Yep, in Daytona, right on the beach.
Oh, that must have been kind of sweet.
Yeah, it's kind of nice. It's a little early in the season, so none of the snowbirds.
Was the rain mess you up over there?
Yeah, we had quite a bit of rain over the weekend.
Yeah, because today I was watching the weather map, and all the rain was all along the East Coast.
Yeah, it was going straight up the coast. Fortunately, though, we were inside at the Ocean Center at a home show.
Okay. And you got some great new hats. Tell us about these.
Well, the long and short of it is we took our most popular T-shirt designs, put them on hats, found a company in Denver, Colorado that will make them for us if we do 144 at a time. And, you know, we're going for it. We're trying to expand and make this a full-blown American-made brand. And the hats seem like the next logical step.
They're baseball caps, technically speaking. They're caps. And they're made out of cotton or canvas that's not hemp. So you don't have to worry about it. If it catches on fire, you're going to get high or something.
Hemp is good stuff. Hey!
But these are great. They're beautiful, too. He's got a black one here with the white design. And this is embroidered, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. They're
I mean, this is all nice embroidered stuff.
They're beautiful.
Yeah. And it's got the white and stripes of the flag on the back black background, a ring of stars with the coiled snake in the middle of it says, "Don't tread on me." That's a beautiful one. You got another one, Second Amendment warrior. And this is a beautiful one here. It says, "Never apologize for being American." And "Never apologize" is over a red, white, and blue, a flag depiction of the United States. Just imagine the United States on a map. And then superimposed in the middle of that is an eagle, like a war eagle, you know. And it says, "Never apologize for being American." These are beautiful hats.
And it's a nice color, too. I love the gray on that.
Yeah, it's and he's got khaki hats. He's got green, army green hats. What's the khaki one say on it?
The khaki one's that American flag in the earth tone.
Okay, it's an earth tone American flag. These are beautiful hats. I mean, these are really nice quality hats. If you like to wear baseball caps, or if you want to get a gift for someone who does like to wear baseball caps, these are the caps. I'm sure they will love you if you get these caps. And if you like to wear hats or caps, this is definitely what you want to do. And they're made in America.
Thanks, Chris.
And what are they selling for?
We've got them for $21.99 and free shipping on our website at MyLibertyThreads.com.
And free shipping.
Yep. And if you go on and you list AAR 2014, we got to update that soon. AAR 2014.
That's right.
You'll get an extra $2 off of that as well. Make it down to $19.99 and free shipping.
Hey, for $20, no shipping charges, you're going to get the nicest hat that you can get anywhere. Made in America. And these things are really nice, too. I mean, the quality of the construction of the hat, the stitching and everything, these things are going to last you a long time.
Absolutely.
And it's a one-size-fits-all, of course. You got the little snap in the back so you can adjust the size. So definitely, if you're into hats or want to get a great gift for someone, this is would be a great idea. And you'll be coming out, I take it with more of your shirt designs on them. So,
absolutely.
So, once again, go to MyLibertyThreads.com to check that out. Maybe we can throw one of the hats in as part of the prize package tonight for Who Said That contest. All right. We'll do that in the next segment of the show. But we were talking with John earlier about the situation with Boehner and all. And see, that's part of the problem with Washington, D.C., is you can be elected and have the best of intentions. When you get to Washington, D.C., you're basically read the Riot Act. Okay, this is the way it works in Washington, D.C. And if you want to stay here, if you want to be able to help your constituents back in your district, here's the way you have to play ball, right? It's sold to the newcomer as, if you want to be an effective congressman, this is how you do it. And basically how you do it is you sell out your constituency for the good of the party.
Right.
And this is what George Washington warned us about. This shouldn't be seen as anything new. This is the danger with a party system. And it doesn't mean that we necessarily have to do away with a party system, but what it does mean is every so often you need to have a little bit of house cleaning. And I believe that that's what we're going through right now, is people have gotten fed up with the stench and are throwing out the dirty laundry, or are ready to anyway. And Donald Trump is in the right place at the right time for his style of politician, if you will. And in terms of the Republican establishment, of course, they're still having a hissy fit over the whole thing, and they are convinced that there is no way that the Republican Party can win with Donald Trump. If he doesn't destroy the party outright, he is at least going to make it impossible for them to win the next election, if for no other reason that he will not be able to get the Hispanic vote, and he cannot win without the Hispanic vote. I mean, Michael Medved really gets down into the nitty-gritty on this issue, talking about the numbers. Mitt Romney only had 27% of the Hispanic vote. If Donald Trump or the next nominee doesn't get a lot more than that, there's no way they're going to win. We hear it from Lindsey Graham all the time. We cannot win in 2016 without the Hispanic vote. First and foremost, I think it's being quite bigoted, if you will. I'm not going to call it racist, but certainly bigoted, to categorize Hispanics in a block like that.
The new Negro vote.
Exactly. What's that?
The new Negro vote.
Exactly, exactly. And it doesn't have to be that way. And when you see the world that way, you close your eyes to the real opportunities. There isn't a quote-unquote Hispanic vote. Because Hispanics are just as diverse in their political persuasions as most of the rest of the population. There are conservative Hispanics, there are liberal Hispanics, there are more Democrat Hispanics than Republican Hispanics, simply because that was what they were. I mean, how many people vote Democrat because that's what their parents voted or something like that? And if the Republicans don't make the case that there are common interests, why would they ever go anywhere else? But lo and behold, they still do go elsewhere because they eventually figure it out on their own. And in terms of not being able to win an election without the quote-unquote Hispanic vote, and what they mean is more than the 27% than Mitt Romney got, because evidently you can pretty well count on pretty much just about that. I think that's a bunch of hokum to begin with. Mitt Romney didn't lose the election because he didn't get all the Hispanic vote. He didn't get any of the black vote. He didn't get much of the youth vote. He missed out on a lot of the women vote. He missed a whole lot of segments that you could go and you could isolate anyone and say, well, the Republic's not going to win. No, what the Republicans need to do is be principled conservatives, and people will find them. from the Hispanic community, from the black community, women, men, young and old. Carl, I see you nodding your head over there.
No, you're absolutely right. I'm looking back at the 2012 elections, and the truth of the matter is Byron York has written a couple of columns on this issue, but the fact of the matter is this. Mitt Romney would not have won, even if he had won the Latino vote at a 44 percentile, which is what George W. Bush won the Latino vote at in 2004, I believe it was.
You're right.
So he wouldn't have won. He would have had to have captured 73% of the Latino vote to barely win. Not to blow Barack Obama out of the water, to barely win the way that the Electoral College is formed, to barely win. He would have had to obtain 73% of the Latino vote. What Donald Trump is capturing right now is the vote that Mitt Romney ignored. You know what that vote is? It is the proud American that happens to be white.
White, black, Hispanic, whatever color.
Yeah.
It's the moral and financial conservatives that were ignored.
But I don't want to ignore this. Donald Trump is actually exciting, and though he's not my guy, he's exciting the people that sat on their butts a few years ago.
Well, let's ask Scott Miller. You're out there on the front line, so to speak. You're going to these fairs all over the country, fairs and other events, and you're selling T-shirts, and you're doing these informal polls. And as people put the – obviously, you don't necessarily know whose name is going in the hat when the person drops it in there. But knowing that you have – you're showing Trump getting the most of the votes, are all of the Trump voters white men and white women, or do you see some diversity going on here?
You know, you're seeing different ages is the most of the diversity that I'm going to see going on.
Yeah.
As far as from what I'm hearing people talking about, I'm getting Hispanic, I'm getting white. I can't say that I'm getting the black vote, but I'm definitely getting men or women.
And Hispanics. You mentioned Hispanics.
Yes, and Hispanics as well.
Okay, and I want to read just a little bit from this weekend's editorial by Peggy Noonan, and this is anecdotal evidence, but I think that it has the ring of truth to it. In other words, that I think we can extrapolate bigger things from this. She says, and I'm going to run out of time, so I'll read a little bit now. We'll pick it up on the other side. She says, I've written before and about an acquaintance, and I've read this part on the show before. She said, I've written before about an acquaintance, late 60s, northern Georgia, lives on Social Security, voted Obama in 08, not partisan, watches Fox News, hates Wall Street and the GOP establishment. She continues to be so ardent for Mr. Trump that she not only watched his speech in Mobile, Alabama on live TV, she watched while excitedly texting with family members, middle-class, white, independent-minded, who were in the audience cheering. Is that the Republican base? I guess maybe it is, because she texted me Wednesday saying, and she's now quoting the lady, I registered to vote today. I am a Republican now. I asked if she'd ever been one before. Reply, no, never. In other words, she had obviously been registered to vote because she voted for Obama. Never, though, as a Republican. Donald Trump got this old Southern white belle, and her Southern white friends and family got their attention.
Yep.
And ardent supporters. We're getting to the close to a point of what I call the point of no return for the Republican establishment and Donald Trump. Whereas if he's...
This is Sunny, the California girl, and I've been around a lot of big, hunky, sexy, tough men. I like men like that, but only when they're brainy, like the American adversaries. These guys are sexy and smart.
Aubrey. Welcome back to the show, folks. You are listening to The American Adversaries. And we want to thank you for being with us tonight. Aubrey Kahn always cutting up here during the breaks.
You're giving my secrets away.
I love your shirt, though. He's got a T-shirt on that says, Jesus first, Jesus always.
Amen.
Amen to that. Amen to that. All right, welcome back to the show. 407-774-8255 is the number. I'm Christopher Hart. That's Aubrey Kahn. Carl Jackson is in the studio with us, too. Jeff Sinis is on the bridge, so he'll be handling your phone calls. And Sonny, Patricia Summerlin, she will be joining us tonight, even though she did lose her brother, Walter, this past week.
Shame.
Sad that she lost him, but he was going through a great deal of pain, and it was very traumatic. So sometimes, you know, the good die young. Anyway, she will be with us shortly, but in the meantime, before we get back to the discussion about Trump and politics, and by the way, I want to get to this new Iowa poll out tonight, too. It's time for our Who Said That contest, which tonight is going to be What Was That Contest, or What Is That Contest, if you will. And you know how to play this. I'll give you the question. If you can answer it correctly, you'll win a $20 gift card to Cafe Positano and a My Liberty Threads t-shirt, and we'll throw in a My Liberty Threads cap to boot. So you'll definitely want to get in on this prize cash or prize stash tonight. All right, so once again, it's really easy to play. So if you think you know the answer, call us at 407-774-8255. Did you know that Donald Trump is the member of a Hall of Fame? Did you guys know this? Donald Trump is presently the member of a Hall of Fame. What Hall of Fame is Donald Trump a member of? And what year? You don't have to tell us, but it would be nice to know, too, what year he was inducted into this Hall of Fame. All right. If you think you know, give us a call at 407-774-8255. If you've won recently, please take a little time off and let somebody else who hasn't won ever at all or for a long time to get in on this. But the same rule will apply as with our Who Said That contest. If by chance no one gets the correct answer, the first person to take a stab at it will be declared the winner. So it never hurts to be the first caller. Who knows? Even if you get it wrong, you still might win. If you get it wrong, you might be right. So in that sense, so what Hall of Fame is Donald Trump a member of? That's right. He's a member of a Hall of Fame. Which one? 407-774-8255.
Would it be the Big Perm Hall of Fame like Al Sharpton?
It would not be. Okay. All right. I want to get back to this article by Peggy Noonan. First, she quotes her friend from Georgia, this late 60s Southern belle from Georgia who voted for Barack Obama, never was Republican in her life before, is now registered as a Republican because she is so excited about the Donald Trump. So then I'm going to just read on a couple of paragraphs here because this, I think, goes to the heart of what the Republicans see as the Hispanic problem that they have in general, and that Donald Trump is only making far worse with all of his outlandishness. As a matter of fact, George Will calls him something, I forget what it was, something akin to a plague on the Republican Party, something like that. Anyway, let me read now from Peggy Noonan. She says, something is going on. Some tectonic plates are moving in an interesting way. My friend Cesar, I guess it is. My friend Cesar works the deli counter at my neighborhood grocery store. He is Dominican. That's Hispanic. He is Dominican, an immigrant, early 50s, and listens most mornings to a local Hispanic radio station, La Mega, on 97.9 FM. Their morning show is the popular El Vacilo at I'm not going to get this right, so let me just hack it up and be done with it. El Vacilo de la Mañana. And after the first GOP debate, Cesar told me they opened the lines to call-ins asking listeners, mostly Puerto Rican, Dominican, and Mexican, for their impressions. Now, this is a morning drive time radio talk show on an FM station, Hispanic listening audience, Hispanic hosts. Here's what happened when they asked listeners to call after the first debate. More than half called in to say they were for Mr. Trump. Their praise, Cesar told me a few weeks ago, dumbfounded the hosts. I later spoke to one of them who identified himself as DJ New Era. He backed Cesar's story. She quotes him now. We were very surprised at the Trump support, he said. Why? It's a Latin-based market. "He's the man," said Cesar of Mr. Trump. "This week I went by and Cesar told me that after Mr. Trump threw Univision's well-known anchor and immigration activist Jorge Ramos out of an Iowa news conference on Tuesday evening in the El Vacion, the El Vacion host, these same hosts, again threw open the phone lines the following morning and were again surprised that the majority of callers backed not Mr. Ramos, but Mr. Trump. Cesar, who I should probably note, sees me, I sense, as a very nice establishment person who needs to get with the new reality, was delighted." In other words, he was delighted that people found it surprising that Hispanics would back Trump. I said, "Cesar, you're supposed to be offended by Trump." He said, "Mexico," this is Cesar now, the Dominican. He said, "Mexico," no, I'm sorry, she said, this is what Trump said. Let me start over again. I said, "Cesar, you're supposed to be offended by Trump." He, that is Trump, said, "Mexico is sending over criminals. He has been unfriendly. You're an immigrant." Cesar shook his head. "No, you have it wrong. Immigrants," he said, "don't like illegal immigration, and they're with Mr. Trump on anchor babies." She now quotes him. "They are coming in from other countries to give birth to take advantage of the system. We are saying that when you come to this country, you pledge loyalty to the country that opened the doors to help you." Cesar added, "We don't block vote anymore. The idea of a Latin vote is disparate," which he said generally translates as nonsense, but which he means as bull. You know the rest of the word.
Poo-poo.
He finished on the subject of Jorge Ramos. "The elite have different notions from the grassroots working people." It is noted in a poll this week that Donald Trump doesn't have much support. 65% of them view him unfavorably, blah, blah, blah. Well, there is a new nationwide poll out that One American News Network pointed out today where Donald Trump has the support of 37% of Hispanics. Last time I checked, 37% was more than the 27% that Mitt Romney got.
Yeah, and it'll climb, in my opinion, if he's nominated.
And you want to know why? Because this issue is a very important issue to Hispanics who came here legally, or the ones we're talking about, the ones who can vote. They understand that illegal immigration is no better for them than it is for anybody else in this country, because they came to this country to be Americans. They did not come to this country to be Dominicans in America or Mexicans in America or Puerto Ricans in America. They came here to be Americans.
There's another issue that Trump is tackling that people don't understand. He's speaking plainly. He's speaking so plainly. I mean, a billionaire, but he speaks so plainly, people feel as though they can relate to the man. And that's huge. Now, Latino people, black people, are very emotional people. I've heard black people start saying they're listening to Trump. But I've heard a couple Latino people say, "Listen, I like what Trump's saying," because he's one lady in particular that I'm thinking about, because he's speaking truth. Now, she's a liberal Democrat. So she said, "I like what he's speaking." But she also said, "I'm starting to pay more attention to Rubio and Cruz now, too, as a result." So for those that say he hasn't benefited the GOP party, you're wrong. Now, I personally, he's not my guy. I don't want him to become president. Ted Cruz is my guy. I've mentioned that before. But nonetheless, to say he hasn't helped the party is absolute nonsense, because he's tapping into people's emotion and he's tapping into what people inherently know. People, in my opinion, are inherently conservative. You don't run around wanting your daughter to get pregnant. You don't want to run around desirous of being on welfare. You don't. You want us to aspire to something greater. And Trump makes people believe they can still aspire to something greater.
This is the key to Trump's success. Everybody, you know, all the pundits out there are befuddled. It's all about the angry and the electorate. And by the way, there is a great deal of anger in the electorate. The same poll shows that when you ask people, Republicans, their favorability of Congress. In other words, do you think Congress is doing a satisfactory job? 75% have unfavorable views of Congress. So but the real underlying key to Trump's success is the positive message that Carl was just talking about. The positive message and the belief that he could actually pull something like that off. I'll get back to the poll numbers here in just a moment, but we have a couple of guests, a couple of callers on the line who think that they know what Hall of Fame Donald Trump is a member of. So let's go to Nestor first from Orlando. Nestor, thank you for calling the show.
Hello.
Thank you for calling tonight. We appreciate you being out there. So,
thank you for giving me the opportunity.
I'm sorry, thank you what?
Thank you for giving me the opportunity.
Oh, absolutely. Anytime. So, if you know, what Hall of Fame is Donald Trump a member of?
WWE.
That's right. It
is
the WWE Hall of Fame.
That was easy.
Congratulations, Nestor. How did you know that? Are you a big WWE fan or just a big Donald Trump fan or both?
Yes.
Well, we appreciate it. You are right. Have you ever won a Who Said That or contest before here?
Yes, about 6 months ago.
Okay. All right. Well, you're certainly eligible. So Jeff says that he has your information. So I appreciate you calling and participating in the contest. And hey, if you've won before, I take it you've been to Cafe Positano then.
Definitely, always go there.
Okay, well, I hope we'll see you there at our spaghetti eating challenge on the 28th of September.
Okay, we'll try.
All right, thanks a lot.
And Nestor, I understand you also had the answer right, and you were the second caller. So
No, he was the first caller. No, that is Nestor we're talking to.
Oh, okay. So who was the second caller?
We had another caller, evidently, who had the right answer, too.
And, right, exactly. Right.
Thanks, Nestor. You are the winner. We appreciate you being
out. I'll tell you what. To the second caller, because I know we've got his information, we'll send him a $25 gift card from Firm Foundation Home Inspections.
All right. Hey, I'll tell you what, you can't lose by calling the American adversaries. All right.
Right.
Thanks, Nestor. Appreciate you being out there. That's right. In fact, Donald Trump was inducted in 2013 to the WWE Hall of Fame. All right. Speaking of Donald Trump. There's a new Iowa Register Bloomberg poll just out today. It shows that Donald Trump is still leading with 23% of the vote. Ben Carson right on his heels at 18%. And then it's a big drop-off. Nobody else is in double digits. You go down to 8% where you find Ted Cruz and Scott Walker, who is in a free fall of his own. And then you go to 6% where you have Marco Rubio, who is going nowhere fast, and Jeb Bush, who is also in a free fall. And then at 4% you have Carly Fiorina and pretty much everybody else tailing after that. The poll also shows that Donald Trump's favorability rating is going up. It has basically done a 180, where his unfavorability used to be around 60%. His favorability is now around 60%. So the more people see and hear Donald Trump, the more they like him. The more people and see and hear Hillary Clinton, the less they like her. The same Iowa Register poll shows Hillary Clinton now with 37% amongst Democrats, Bernie Sanders with 30%, and Joe Biden, who hasn't even declared one way or the other yet, with 14%. So if you combine Sanders and Joe Biden, you get 44 to 37 most Democrats are sick and tired of the Clinton gambit, if you will, the Clinton game. And she's in a total free fall. That she's going down. She's going down hard, and I'm loving every minute of it. We'll be right back.
Yes, this is me, Brian Blair, the Killer Bee, and I'm tired of those sticky liberal lies. That's why I tune in to the American Adversaries, where you get nothing but the truth. So don't get stung. Listen to AM 660, The Answer.
You're listening to the American Adversaries live this Sunday evening on AM 660, The Answer. I'm Carl Jackson, sitting in studio with Christopher Hart, Aubrey Kahn, Jeff Sinis is behind the glass. And before the break, we were talking about why Donald Trump is so popular, all the things that the GOP are missing. So I'm going to go back to Chris, the man with a plan.
Thank you very much there, Carl Jackson. The article with Peggy Noonan ends with a bit about how the elite are viewing all of this going on. And the elite being the establishment and the Republican parties and the wealthy, if you will, the wealthy class of the country. She said, I end with this. An odd thing in my observation is that deep down the elite themselves also think the game is rigged. They don't disagree and they don't like what they see. Corruption, shallowness, and selfishness in the systems all around them. Their odd anguish is that they have no faith the American people can or will do anything to turn it around. They see the American voter as distracted, poorly educated, subject to emotional and personality-driven political adventures. They sometimes refer to jaywalking, the old Jay Leno Tonight Show staple in which he walked outside the studio and asked the man on the street about history. What caused the American Civil War? Hitler? When did it take place? Roughly 1958? Both sides, the elites and the non-elites, sense that things are stuck. The people hate the elites, which is not new and very American. The elites have no faith in the people, which actually is new. Everything is stasis. Then Donald Trump comes like a rock thrown through a showroom window, and the molecules start to move. The molecules starting to move mean, in other words, he's a catalyst, basically setting things in motion, and who knows what's going to happen from here. And that's what the establishment fears with Donald Trump, is that he's a wild card. He's not a loose cannon, but they just don't know what to expect from him. Well, I guess they would call him a loose cannon, but certainly they don't know what to expect from him. But his attractiveness, his appeal is his belief in the American way and that we can figure out our way out of problems, that actually he might not himself have all of the answers, but he does know who would have the right answer for the right problem, or he will find the person that has the right answer for the right problem. This is what you call being an executive. This is what you call being a leader. Every good leader knows that he doesn't know everything. And yet, what do all these politicians, these run-of-the-mill politicians, want to have us believe? Why? They know it all.
Yeah. Obama is smarter than all of his advisors and generals of the military.
Well,
absolutely.
But so is Jeb Bush. So is Marco Rubio. Just listen to their presentation. So is Scott Walker. See, this is the run-of-the-mill approach. Even Bobby Jindal. I was watching Bobby Jindal. He was on a couple of the morning shows this morning. And he was asked direct questions, and he gave political answers. It doesn't work anymore. You see, we've now seen different way, and we're not going to be accepting of the old way anymore. And I'm here to tell you, and the Republican Party needs to take note of this if they haven't already, and that is that Donald Trump is pushing his support past the point of no return, and I referred to this a little bit earlier, in the sense that people are getting a taste of this, and they like it, and they're not going to want to go back to the same old hash. The same old, you know, what we used to call you-know-what on a shingle, right? Okay? They're not going to want that. And if this party mishandles this thing and they finagle the rules or do this or do that to get one of these establishment candidates in there, they can expect to lose the election because a lot of people are going to sit home. And I'll tell you what, I'll be one of them. I'm not going to be placated with, well, he's better than Hillary Clinton, or he's better than Joe Biden. I'm going to say? That's too bad, isn't it? Because I am not going to be forced to take the same old, same old. I'm going to force the party to accept me. I am not going to be forced to accept them.
You see, this was one of the things that happened to Romney. The moral majority stayed home.
And maybe rightfully so.
Right. And, you know, the moral majority is sick and tired of being told to vote for us and we'll take care of it. And then when they get into power, you get told, sit down and shut up because this is not what the people want.
Or that we're embarrassed of you. Look at the Democrats. Yeah. Who, the Democrats are embarrassed of no one. For God's sakes, President Obama. Need I say more? I mean, they're embarrassed of no one. Socialists, communists. No one. So they invite everyone to their party that's willing to be a victim and that's willing to hate on other people. They'll take them all. Republicans, on the other hand, the places where they had traditional support, general support, where they won in big landslides, now they've turned into these leftist elitists, in my opinion, in Washington as well. And what's happening are the people that got them to the show, if you will, they just want to abandon them. The caller earlier spoke about Boehner and dissing Ted Cruz. That is absolute nonsense. That's crazy. Why would you undermine a person that could potentially become president, except if you're doing it in protest?
And the point is that they take us for granted.
Absolutely.
Well, that's our fault. Okay? That's our fault. And we can stop it. We can stop it in its tracks. Speaking of getting stopped in the tracks, we got to stop right here because we're up against a hard break. We got Marshall on the line and John on the line. We'll take your phone calls. If you'll stay with us and hold through the break, we'll go to you as soon as we get back. And we'll go to your phone calls as well. If you would like to participate, 407-774-8255 is the number. Speaking of participating, please take the Dreams Come True survey at am660theanswer.com and put in the American Adversaries as your favorite show. You might win $5,000.
When America fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, the American Adversaries.
Okay, welcome back to the show, or welcome to the show, folks, for hour number three of the American Adversaries Classic 3-Hour Sunday Evening Tour. As we come to you live on FM 105.5, AM 660 The Answer, and 1520 WBZW. And, of course, because we are live, coming to you from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios, don't forget, for the very best in Mercury Free dental care, you can do like our next caller, Marshall, and call my dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, at 407-678-3399. And he and Joe Lee and all the great folks over there at his office will fix those choppers right up for you. In the meantime, because we are live, and I'm in the studio now with Aubrey Kahn, Carl Jackson's got to head out because he's finished putting the finishing touches on his blog tonight, which will be up on YouTube a little bit later on in his Facebook page. But because we are here, we are live. 407-774-8255 is our phone number if you want to be a part of it. And we got a couple of callers on the line right now who've been holding through the break, so I want to go right to them. Marshall, you called first. Thanks for being out there. Appreciate it.
How y'all doing, gentlemen?
Excellent. And yourself tonight?
I'm still here. They haven't got me yet.
You just keep dodging them, all right?
Yeah, that's pretty much where I feel about it. I mean, you know, it's like, never mind. We don't even want to go ahead. Listen, I was hoping to talk to Carl, but anyway, I'll ask a question.
Well, he's listening. I happen to know he's listening.
Oh, is he? Okay. How does he feel about how Sheriff Clark turned it around, changed the wording on the Black Lives Matter to Black Lives Matter? And how did he feel about him challenging the president? go without his security for a week or so.
Yeah, he loved it. He loved it. He's all for that, of course, and us too. I mean, that's the kind of challenges that need to be issued.
Boy, they tore into him like, I mean, every I, you know, I watch it all, and you know I'm up on everything, Chris.
Yeah.
And, I heard no mention of that poor sheriff deputy that was shot in the back of the head. It like never happened. And they don't want to mention that the reason why the black gentleman, the black news reporter, shot the two white people. They don't mention he's black. They don't mention they were white. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Well, it's because it doesn't fit the story. You know, it doesn't fit the scripted storyline. It doesn't fit their template. Which, of course, is that all of the violence is going the other way, is going from whites against blacks.
Right.
And so anytime you come across a story like this, even though it is horrific and sensational, every bit as any of the stories that do fit the template, they're not going to run it because it doesn't fit the template.
Right.
And it makes it harder for them
How do we defeat the corrupt – how do we change the scenario – the corrupt media. How do we defeat them corrupt? They're not the mainstream media. They're corrupt.
Well, one way is by doing what you're doing, and that is by listening to and supporting this show and shows like it, like Carl and others.
Well, you know I'm here, and I've been trying for 6 months now. I talk to young black college students or anybody that I could talk to, and I ask them their history. You know, do they know their own history? They don't know their own history.
Well, that's not entirely their fault, though. I mean, it's because of our educational system and our politicians. And it's a huge problem. That's the bad news. The good news is, with the right attitude, the right focus, and the right people, we could make big results in a fairly short period of time.
Well, Trump needs to, you know, hit on a little bit on this, and he's waking up America. I know that. And he's waking up the voters that have been asleep.
Yeah, well, definitely
and,
is.
Yeah, that's a good thing. And
absolutely. I said, like the other day, and Peggy Noonan said the same thing in his article. She said, everything is stasis. I said the other day, everything is stagnant. She said, then Donald Trump comes like a rock thrown through a snow room window. And I said, it was like he, you know, a big guy jumping into a stagnant water and, it, you know, splashed it everywhere. He's the party pooper. Donald Trump is the party pooper because he's spoiling the party for both sides. Something else Carl said before he left, and that is that when think about the donors, think about the big money donors who give to political campaigns. They give to both campaigns.
Oh, yeah.
And so what do they get? They get the same thing from both campaigns. And
see, covering their bases.
Right. But this is what Trump is spoiling. He's spoiling the party for both political parties, because he's exposing what we all already know is going on, but he's exposing it because he's able to testify. I've been there. I've done that. And I know how to do something different. And
look what they're doing to Carly on CNN. I mean, they're doing everything they can to keep her off the stage.
Yeah, that's a travesty, and I don't know what is influence Salem Media Group has in that, but they being the co-sponsors of the debate, I would hope that they would
I'm telling them it's over until she's on stage.
Well, certainly,
that's what I would say.
Certainly, I would think that the way to do it is to take the polls that are the most recent polls.
Of course.
Because who cares what people thought 3 weeks ago? What we care about is what they think now, right?
The past is the past.
That's right. Okay, Marshall, thanks for being out there.
Take care. God bless all of you, and you keep up the great work, Chris.
All right, appreciate it. Appreciate you going to Dr. James Hardy, too. I know he.
Oh, I'll be going back. Don't worry. He's going to be seeing a lot of me.
Good deal. Good deal. He's a great man, great dentist.
Ah, unbelievable. It's one of the nicest dentists I've ever met.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, thanks, Marshall. Appreciate
all right,
it,
take man. Take care,
man. All right, take care. All right. Let's go now to John from Oak Hill. John, thank you for calling and being out there tonight.
Hey, guys.
How about it? How you doing?
You know, what makes Trump to me different, he approaches the American people, the average person, like we've got a little sense. He tells us, listen, I know what the problems are, and we basically know what the problems are. And like you said, maybe he can't solve them all, but we know that he's smart enough to put the right people in the right positions. As to where the established candidates, they come up to us and tell us what we can't do. We can't get this done. We need more time. They've always got an excuse. And if you think back, they don't want us to know our recent history because they've created the problem. We've gave some of them 6, 8, 12 years to fix the problems already, and they want our votes again, and they haven't lived up to their obligations that they promised us to begin with.
Yep.
And the people are tired of it.
You're absolutely right. We don't want, promises. We want results.
And I wonder sometimes when they get on that plane, they come home for their September or August vacation. They have their little town hall meetings, and they say what they think we want to hear, make all kinds of promises. And when they shut that cabin to go back in D.C., they must pump gas in there or something, because when they get off in D.C., they have amnesia.
You're exactly right.
Yeah, I like the way you put that. But, yeah, it's this nasty little game that's been going on. Everybody knows it's going on. Everybody knows that it's not good for the country, but nobody's willing to really do anything about it until now. And Donald Trump is kicking the door in. As I said, he's the party pooper. He's spoiling the party. And he's our best hope at this point. Him and Ted Cruz is another one. That's the kind of person we're going to need to get this country back on the right track. And this is a great opportunity for us. We need to grab it. We need to take it.
Figurehead.
What's that?
We need men of action, not a figurehead.
Amen. You're absolutely right. And that's what he is. And he's distinguishing himself. And I tell you, the more these other candidates like Jeb and Walker and others who try to go after him, the punier they look next to him. Eugene Robinson, who's a black liberal writer for the Tribune organization, wrote an article for his weekly article entitled "Republican Establishment Must Take Trump Seriously." It appeared in today's Orlando Sentinel, and he talks about how the establishment is not getting him right. That he is definitely a bona fide candidate, that he is shocking the establishment. He's shaking up their world. But he says something at the end that I think is very telling about what's going on here. He says, "Much of what Trump says may be appalling, but he's definitely somebody. And no one else in the field has achieved that distinction." You understand what he's saying here? In other words, he's saying that Trump he's big, he's Trump. The rest of these guys, with the exception maybe of Cruz, Carson, and Fiorina, are just run-of-the-mill politicians.
That's why they don't want the game changed, Chris, because they want up to meet all those lobbyists with all the money that'll promise them that they can live that life of luxury. If they can be pushed, bent, or swayed to go this way or that way and forget about us.
Yeah, well, I tell you, what we can do about it is in the primaries, we can vote for other candidates than the establishment candidates. And at the end of the day, if they put up an establishment candidate and it's somebody that we know is just going to give us the same old business again, then it is basically our obligation to turn away. And a lot of people think, well, oh, my God, you mean you'd allow Hillary Clinton to be elected? You have to remember, and this is something I've been talking about on this show since day one, this is the perverse world of politics, where the illogical is sometimes logical. Sometimes you take a defeat in order to win in the long run. And if we keep electing same old, guess what we're going to get? The same old. And we either elect somebody new, or we don't vote at all.
If I go out here to one of these cow pastures in Oak Hill and take a box and fill it full of cow dung or cow manure, whatever you want to call it, put pretty paper on it and nice ribbon, sprinkle some foo-foo juice on it and make it smell all nice, irregardless of how good it looks and how pretty it may be wrapped up, it's still a box of crap.
That's exactly right.
Yep, it's like my bar.
That's what they do. In either side, we're not getting much difference.
No.
So you're right. It's time to either abstain or things are,
or get the right person and get the right person in there that we can get fully and wholeheartedly. You're absolutely right. It's just like my barber, Nathan, used to say. He moved to Miami, or he'd still be my barber. He'd say, same old you-know-what, just new flies.
There you go.
And that's what we're getting. Same old you-know-what, just new flies. Hey,
exactly,
John,
right.
God bless you, and thank you. Thank you for being out there. We really appreciate all your support that you give us. All right, we're out of time in this segment, though. When we come back, one segment later, we'll be joined by Sunny. That's Patricia Summerlin, our California glow girl. Please don't go away.
Hello, this is Mark Merrill, former WCW World Television Champion, Johnny B. Bad. It's a good day to be a bad man, but it's even a better day to listen to the American Adversaries. And you better listen. Don't let me come and get you, because it's going to be a blessing to teach you a lesson.
All right. Welcome back to the show, folks. That's right. You got the American Adversaries. And don't forget, at 8 o'clock, you got Armed American Radio with Mark Walters, some great live radio that'll take you to 11 o'clock. In the meantime, it is now time for Sunny. That would be Patricia Summerlin, our California gorgeous lady of wrestling girl. Hey, Sunny, how you doing tonight?
Hi, Chris. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. Once again, we're very sorry. We understand you did lose your brother this past week, Walter, and our condolences and our listeners send their condolences and prayers as well to you and your family.
Thank you so very much. Yep, he's finally at peace. He's up there with the family, you know.
Yeah, I understand that your daughter put a video on YouTube, or not YouTube, on Facebook.
But she probably as well, but no, my niece, Raven Sutherland, my brother's daughter, who's the same age as my daughter, you know,
okay.
Her cousin. Yeah, she did a nice memorial to my brother all the way to the end, which I just happened to see it about an hour ago, and that was something, yeah. So, and it is on Facebook for everyone who is on Facebook. You can
check. Where would they find that?
That would be under Raven Sutherland, or... it quite possibly should be on mine as well, which is Patricia Chambers Summerlin on Facebook.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Once again, our condolences and our prayers will go with your brother to heaven.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. You're the best. And as equally as I told Jeff, you're always in mine.
Well, thank you for that. No, it's been a tough year or so for you. You lost your mother. Now you've lost your brother, and I guess one of your in-laws, is she still, Michelle, is she still having trouble?
Yeah, she's still fighting it. You know, she had, I believe it's, stage 2 or stage 3 liver cancer, breast cancer, but she's a tough cookie, Michelle. She doesn't let anything get her down, that woman. She's something really special, but she's faring well.
Well, good for her. Good for her.
Yes. Thank you.
All right. Well, let's start with a little bit of politics, and then we'll get to a couple of other stories. There's a new Iowa poll out today that shows that Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton are just about in a statistical dead heat. She leads him 37-30 in Iowa, which, of course, is the first primary state, a caucus state. Is that, you think that's... let me just put it this way. Several weeks ago, I said that I think Hillary her time has come and she's not going to be around at the end. You said she would be. You still feel the same way?
I don't know. She's still the first choice at this point. She's still 37. He's 30. But Bernie Sanders is catching up quite quick. You know, but you never know. We still have a lot of time in the voting polls and in this whole race to the end, as you know. There's plenty of time, and I know Hillary's not going to bow out. I'll tell you that.
Well,
I think she's in it to the long run. I think she'll be there before Trump.
Well, certainly she doesn't, show
any... Hair might make it first above everybody, but,
who?
You know.
Who's that?
I said his hair will make it to the finish line.
Yeah. Hillary's problems, though, I think go deeper than Bernie Sanders. I think there was a Quinnipiac poll out this week that asked about all the candidates, what's the first word that comes to mind when you think of this candidate or that candidate? With Donald Trump, the number one word that comes to people's minds when they think of Donald Trump is arrogant. When it came to Hillary Clinton, however, it was liar. The problem, I think, with Hillary is all of her own problems. It's not so much that Bernie Sanders is gaining, you know, support from Hillary Clinton, is that people are getting a little, how should I say, tired of the Clinton nonsense.
That's probably what it is. And Bernie's refreshing and new, and he's coming for the people, and, you know, he's all about, again, what it comes down to is, where is all this money going to come from? You know, where and how? It all sounds good. You know, take the taxes here, give this, give the people all of blah, blah, blah. You know, I don't know at this point, because our world is pretty much hopeless. You know, it's going to take one strong president, the new one, to bring it back. It's going to take far short of a miracle, in fact, I think, you know. There's just so much going on in this world, and it saddens me every time I turn on the news. And I've been a news watcher since I was a wee little girl. I was one of those that loved the news. But everything, wow, it's just incredible what's going on. It's heartbreaking. Like this other sheriff that gets, you know.
Well, that's now that you're going in that direction, yeah, Sheriff Darren Goforth, who was shot to death yesterday in Houston, guy just walked up behind him as he's filling up his car with gasoline and just, you know, pumps a bunch of bullets into him. And then when the sheriff falls down, basically dead on the ground, he shoots him more. And then you had the shooting in Roanoke, Virginia. And if it weren't for the fact that shooting in Roanoke occurred on the air live, I have to wonder, to be honest with you, though, Sonny, if that would have gotten the same amount of attention. And the reason I say that is if we look at this deputy being shot yesterday. And by the way, he's just the most recent. If you remember, there's been a spate of these things that go back to last December when those two police officers in New York were killed when that guy walked. You remember that, when the guy walked up behind and shot him in the head? This has been going on now on a fairly regular basis ever since then. And yet it gets very little attention in the media, though. This shooting yesterday, it got some attention last night. It got a little attention this morning on Fox, but it has gotten scant little attention in the major network news medias. And the troubling thing is, we all know that if this white police or sheriff's deputy had shot the black man, it would be all over the news.
True.
And this sort of double standard here, I think, leads to the problem getting worse. In other words, we're not being told the truth, and when we're not being told the truth, we make bad decisions. And when I say we, I mean in terms of the country. And this killing was it was a lot worse than what happened in Ferguson with that guy Brown, because Brown had committed a crime. He was in the process of attacking a police officer. And look at what happened in Ferguson. And total silence about Darren Goforth.
Yes, I know. And here's a man that was just, you know, first of all, it was just very cowardly and just inhumane. It was very sad, very, very sad. And there's so much of this that goes on that there's just not enough time on the news to cover it.
Well,
you know, there's so many things going on, not to mention the ISIS, the war, this, that, and, you know, especially out here in Los Angeles, every day is like that here. I mean, there's always something going on here. But the cops now have those, I guess, the body cameras they have to wear now. And I think because of that, it's going to allow people to come from behind cowardly, so they are not on this camera, to my understanding, and they're going to take cheap shots at the cops now before they get on this camera. You know, people has anyone ever thought about that? Because they are with this camera now. That's why people are going to come up from behind, probably. It's going to cause more violence.
Well,
before they may have not shot the guy, you know, or shot the officer, or vice versa. It's going to be interesting to see how it'll play out.
Well, you make an interesting point. And the broader point I think that you're making here is that, you know, we come up, every time we come up with one of these solutions, we expect it to, quote unquote, solve the problem. In other words, if we just put body cameras on all the police, it'll cut way down on police abuse and it'll be better for everybody in the long run. Well, not necessarily so. As you said, it can create other problems in the sense that the criminal now knows that he can't allow himself to be seen by the camera, so he has to take desperate measures that he may not have otherwise done. And right. So it changes the whole dynamic between the police and the criminal. And this is what people seem to forget about when they want to criticize the police. And that is that the police, it is their job to deal with criminals. That's basically what they're doing all day long, is dealing with the criminal element, with some exceptions. But that's really what their life, what their job on duty is all about. And we expect them to treat criminals like they're law-abiding regular citizens. And it not only makes their job near impossible to accomplish, but it creates a very dangerous environment for them in the process. And I think that's kind of what you're saying, too.
Yeah, well, that is exactly. That is what is going on. And that's why a lot of these officers, they say they shoot unlawfully. Well, you know, it's a fine line there. And we can't judge them because we're not in their suit. But what we can say is when there is a problem, we are the first to call them and need them. And are they there? Yes. They're there to protect and serve at all costs.
Yeah.
And, it saddened me to hear this. And I'm glad that this Shannon J. Miles, 30 years old, is now in prison. I hope he stays there.
Yeah, he's in custody.
He is.
And certainly he will be going to prison for a long time. In Texas, they do have the death penalty, so I would not be surprised should he go to trial and actually fight this in court that he gets the death penalty. Probably going to plea bargain for life in prison. At least,
I believe he's getting charged with capital murder.
Yeah. So that would be a capital crime. It certainly would be followed with the death penalty. We'll see.
Yes.
All right. Well, Sonny, I appreciate you hanging on the phone for us while we took those other callers. I know it's been a tough week for you, but once again, we so very appreciate you being a part of the show. Just want you to take care until we talk to you again.
Yes. I look forward to it every Sunday. You're my family as well, my extended family in Florida, and try to stay dry. To my understanding, too, that El Nino effect is going to hit you guys.
The El Nino has helped us because it's causing the jet stream to chop off the tops of these hurricanes. That's why this thing fell apart. One reason, anyway. So.
Well, good.
So hopefully that same El Nino is bring you a lot of rain here over the fall and winter. We'll see.
Yes, we're going to get some fair and well needed rain as well.
Okay. All right.
Yes. You guys have a wonderful sunny day there.
All right.
Bye bye.
All right. Bye. All right. Once again, that was Sonny, and we'll be right back.
More political mayhem is on the way. You're listening to The American Adversaries on 660 WORL. If you can take it.
And we're also on FM 105.5. Thanks for being with us tonight, folks. And don't forget, at 8 o'clock, Armed American Radio will take you with some great live radio right on up till 11 o'clock tonight. All right, I'm in the studio, Christopher Hart here, along with Aubrey Kant. And if you want to be a part of the show, you still have time. Just give us a call at 407-774-8255. This would normally be the time that we do WTF with our WTF news hound, Johnny Guns, but unfortunately, his and Nostradamus's, and they work at the same place, their work requirements have changed. And for the time being, at least, neither one is going to be able to be on the show. And, of course, I miss them, and I know you do, too. And hopefully in the not-so-distant future, things will change again, and they'll be able to be back on the show. At least that's what I'm hoping and counting on. That or I get a big break. We get a big break here, and this thing really goes big, and I can just doggone hire them away and have them come on over here and work for us. So I would love to have that happen. And one way where you may can help us out along those lines, And I'm not promising anything because I don't know, but I do know that there's an opportunity for you folks to let the higher-ups in Salem Media Group know something about us. And the way you do that is to go to am660theanswer.com. Now, don't go to 660 AM. If you do, you're going to get the website of a station in Dallas, Texas. Not what you want to do, okay? It has to be am660theanswer.com or WORL660, the old website, but mainly am660theanswer.com. Go there, look for the Dreams Come True banner. It'll pop up on the side or on the bottom or anywhere, and click on that banner, and please take the Dreams Come True survey. In that survey, they'll ask you a little bit about your listening habits, your preferences in terms of listening, and then they'll ask you who your favorite host or favorite show is. And we would love for you to put in one of our names and the name of this show. It doesn't have to be me. If you like Aubrey, you like Carl, you like Mike McBath, Dr. K, Colonel McKnight, John L. Casey, just make sure you put in after that of the American Address series.
Everybody loves Aubrey.
That's right.
That's an order.
Everybody loves Aubrey Kahn.
That's an order.
Our token African American. Just put in there, we love the American adversary's token African American, Aubrey Kahn. Boy, that'll get a rise out of him, right? The main thing is we want the people at corporate headquarters to know what we're doing down here. And let me tell you something, folks, we're kicking butt down here. And it's because of you. It's because of you, the listeners. You listen, you tune in, and you can come back and listen for more, and you tell your friends and family about us, and that's how we've grown to where we are now. But this is another way where you can help us out. Won't cost you a cent, and you might win $5,000. The corporation, Salem Media Group, is going to give away $5,000 to a random drawing for one of the people who enters, who takes part in this survey. So you have to take the survey to be entered into the drawing, but hey, $5,000, the only way you can be sure you won't win is don't take the survey. But please do take the survey, and please do put in the name of this show or one of our names in the name of this show when it asks who your favorite is. And perhaps we can bust this thing loose, and I can just go ahead and hire Nostra Dennis and Johnny Guns and be done with the doggone thing. All right, so normally, as I said, this would be the WTF news time with Johnny Guns, and then I kind of, you know, would usually chip in a couple of stories, so I'll chip in a couple of stories, and then Aubrey Kahn's got some quotes from Joe Biden. You know, we got to take this guy seriously, right?
Of course we do.
Until you listen to what he has to say, then it becomes harder and harder to take him seriously.
Joe Biden says that the average American doesn't care about what?
The Constitution.
The Constitution.
Oh, I guess he could be right in a lot of ways. Anyway, let me just give you a couple of WTF news stories or what will pass for them as tonight. Anyway, did you hear about the EasyJet having to be diverted to Milan and delayed for 7 hours because of a champagne cork?
That was easy.
Did you hear about it?
I read a little bit about it. I skipped over it, to be honest.
Yeah, evidently this it was a trans-European flight, EasyJet, a 737 jet, and one of the stewardesses, or I guess we should call them flight attendants.
Flight attendants, yes. Yes, was, you racist, you sexist bigot.
Yeah,
you.
That's right, old-fashioned me. One of the flight attendants was opening a bottle of champagne, and as they might, as they oftentimes do, the cork comes flying out, you know, pops. And the cork flies out of the bottle, hits a particular panel in the ceiling of the aircraft, dislodges the panel, which causes all of the oxygen masks for all the passengers to drop down in front of their faces. And so the plane had to be diverted because of a champagne cork getting loose inside the aircraft.
Have to love that.
Fortunately, it did not penetrate the skin of the aircraft, so there was no depressurization. But nonetheless, there were a few passengers who had to change their pants when the plane landed.
Oh, bummer.
Oh, well. All right. And, you know, there have been these forest fires all over Washington State, some pretty big ones. When you consider, though, the size of the forest in Washington State, Oregon, and Northern California, they're pretty small, unless you are a member of the Confederated Tribes of the Colville Reservation. These are 12 tribes that were forced onto this reservation in 1872, and a big part of the reservation is forest land. As a matter of fact, nearly half of their 1.4 million acre reservation they have dedicated for timber harvest, and the other half they have dedicated to selling it, if you will, to oil giant BP. No, they didn't sell the acreage to BP. They sold BP carbon credits. In other words, because they had all of these trees, they were able to sell credits to an oil company like BP to offset the green requirements that the state of California and other companies put, other states that put on these companies to do business in their state. In other words, you know, carbon credits didn't survive at the national level, but they did survive at the state level. So they've been selling carbon credits to BP for several million dollars a year. Well, that's fine. They sell credits for about 480,000 acres of timber, which allows their forest to act as a remote carbon storage bank for California.
Ooh.
So, in other words, for people in California to have clean air, they have to go out of the state to other states to get what they need. And so what they've been doing is they've been buying these credits. This is in Washington State.
Didn't we used to just call that simple extortion back in the day?
You might call it something like that. Yeah, money laundering would be another word you might use. Well, that's the good news for the tribes. The bad news is they've been struck by the forest fires. And as these 480,000 acres of trees get burned, their sellability for the carbon credits goes up in smoke with it.
But they're polluting the atmosphere, too.
Ironic, isn't it?
Wow. But this is also because you're not allowed to burn the undergrowth.
That's right. Exactly right. They can't maintain the forest the way it needs to be maintained. And by the way, Native Americans, far from just living off the land and pristine land and not doing anything to change the lay of the land, they were the first one to perform controlled burns. They would burn whole forest for that very reason.
Right.
Not only that, but it would renew the forest.
Well, you know, they've been practicing that all over the world for hundreds and hundreds of years.
Absolutely.
But you've got to remember, Democrats know better because it makes you feel good.
Right. And you know the type of timber that grows in particular in the northeast of the United States? That was not the indigenous. Those are not the indigenous trees. Those trees are so prevalent because the Native Americans cultivated them.
Right.
And why did they do that? Because they made better wood for using, to build houses with, to build canoes with, to build bows and arrows, whatever the need for it was. They knew certain trees were better for that purpose than others. So they cut down the others and grew more of the ones that they liked. Yeah, they left nature alone, didn't they? They didn't do anything to upset the balance of nature. What a bunch of hokum.
They didn't kill any bison either, did they?
No, they just ran them off cliffs. That's all they did. All right.
Stop knocking on the indigenous folk.
Yeah. And bird calls, you know, like the duck calls the Duck Dynasty boys have gotten rich over. Bird calls were developed by Native Americans. Why? It's easier to kill the prey if it comes to you. Oh, but they didn't do anything. No, not to disturb nature.
But with them, it was sustainable.
Yeah.
We're just corrupt.
That's right. All right. And we're out of time for this segment, but we'll be back.
Hey, folks, this is pro wrestler and WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and I listen to the American Adversaries tough guy.
Bag had hacked Clinton data.
Uh-oh. Oh, that was from Aubrey Cotton there. He just found that an MI6 spy.
MI6 spy who had hacked the Clinton data was found dead in a duffel bag.
Oh, imagine that. That never happens around the Clintons.
How coincidental.
It? How coincidental, yeah. Oh, boy. All right. We're just about out of time for tonight, but once again, want to thank you for being with us tonight. And want to ask you again to please take the survey. You only have until Thursday. The survey goes till Thursday, and then we find out the results. I presume we'll find them out around here. But I would certainly like to hear that we were the number one show in this market. And we need you to help us achieve that distinction by going to am660theanswer.com and taking the Dreams Come True survey. And the best part is you might win $5,000 if you take that survey. So please, please do it. And please enter our the name of our show or one of the hosts on this show as your favorite. And we'll be indebted to you for that. And Aubrey Cotton's coming up with some great stuff here on the internet.
Ladies and gentlemen. You know how to make the perfect BLT sandwich?
How?
B stands for?
Bacon.
Bacon. L stands for?
Lettuce.
Lots more bacon. And T stands for?
Tomato.
Topped with bacon.
That's from a true meat eater, Aubrey Cotton. All right. So, once again, please take the Dreams Come True survey. All right, we're going to go out tonight here in a few minutes, in about 5 minutes, with another Lloyd Marcus tune. It's called Celebrate America. And this is what we all want to do. Once again, I think this has a lot to do with Donald Trump's appeal. He celebrates America. Yeah, he trashes a lot of other people, right?
But he's a patriot.
But he's a patriot. He never trashes America. He never. He might say we got a bunch of stupid people running the country doing stupid things, but he never trashes America. He celebrates America all the time, subtly and overtly. And this is a powerful political message in America. It has always been so. Even people like Barack Obama have found a way to capitalize on this. Even while he was saying, you know, we need to radically change America, he also subtly at the same time said, but it's America where we can do that. And so in a way, he was still saying America is great, so great that we can change it around. Well, now we need to do it in the reverse fashion. Exactly. And Donald Trump, I believe, is the guy to do it, or at least he's showing how to do it. If one of the others, nobodies, as Eugene Robinson has correctly, I think, characterized them, once again, with the exception of Carson, Cruz, and Fiorina, who are moving up. Everybody else is moving down in the polls. With other than those nobodies, one of these four people is who we need to be coalescing around as a party, I do believe. And change things. And change things back to where we do celebrate America. The rest of the world, even to this day, we found out the other day on the show with a guy from the United Arab Emirates, how people in the Middle East still see the United States of America as the focus of their dream of where they would like to be or what they would be like, right. What they would like to be like. We should be celebrating that. We should be celebrating ourselves. And we're not doing it. And this is what he really brings to the table. Not so much, I don't think, specific solutions as the general solution. And the general solution is to appreciate the greatness that is America, the greatness that is the people that make up America, and the sense that there lies the solutions. Not in a bunch of elites or a bunch of politicians who are going to write a book and lay out their policy positions and try to get into all this minutia and stuff. No. That's not what we need. That's not real leadership. People are getting a taste of real leadership, and they like it. And I guarantee you, they're going to want a lot more of it. And if the other candidates can't produce that same persona, so to speak, that same charisma, that same impression, then they're just going to go by the wayside, or we'll see some political shenanigans and we'll be stuck with one of these losers. And even if we win, we will have lost. Exactly. Even if we win the election, we will have lost, because we will have lost an opportunity to change the dynamic, to, as Peggy Noonan says, along with Donald Trump, to throw a rock through a showroom window and shake things up. We have the chance to do it, but it is up to us, and we have to act. We just can't sit idly by. And there are a lot of ways we can act. Of course, voting is the one most important way, but the other ways to act are to speak out in our own way, in our own circle of influence, to support others like ourselves, whether they be a radio show like this or just a friend who is like us. And that's how we defeat this enemy from within, if you want to call it that. So please, let's do this. Let's take advantage of this opportunity. Aubrey, thanks for being in here tonight. It's always fun to have you around.
Pleasure. It's always fun on this show.
All right. And it's always a great time having you. It's always a great time having you folks in the audience, too. Don't forget, Lloyd Marcus, you can get this CD of his, which is called God, Country, and Love, Celebrate America's Tonight's Selection. You can get his CD at his website, which is simply LloydMarcus.com. LloydMarcus, LloydMarcus.com. So let's all celebrate America tonight and every day and every night, world and time without end. God bless America. Night, everybody.
Yep. When times are hard, we've got to stick together. Hold on to the things that are real. 'Cause we've survived through every kind of weather. And the love in our hearts, no one can steal. We live in a land blessed with freedom, for which many brave have fought and died. So let's celebrate the values that money can't buy. Let's celebrate America. Let's celebrate our families. Let's celebrate our home. Let's celebrate the things that make us whole. Let's celebrate our spirit. Let's celebrate. Americans never yield. We always strive to make things a little better. It's part of the heritage we feel. And though we come from many different nations, our colors are the values that money can't buy. Let's celebrate America. Let's celebrate our families. Let's celebrate our home. Let's celebrate the things that make us whole. Let's celebrate our spirit. Let's celebrate. Celebrate the will to
that money can't buy. Let's celebrate America.
Let's celebrate
our family.
Let's celebrate
our home.
Let's celebrate
the things that make us whole.
Let's celebrate
our spirit.
Let's celebrate
our goals.
Let's celebrate
the will to carry on. So let's celebrate the values that my
America,
sweet land of liberty.
America.